hold out school segregation in the South. The Justice Department filed suits in four states to force compliance in 46 school districts in time for this coming school year, now just 2 months away. The actions involve some 200,000 pupils, 81,000 of them black. One suit affects 19 Mississippi school districts and names state officials as defendants. The others involve 8 districts in Florida, 9 in Arkansas, 10 in South Carolina. The Justice Department said there are 76 more holdout districts in 8 southern states, and additional suits are expected. Announced today that there is going to be a speed-up in the rate of withdrawal of American troops from South Vietnam. Here's what he said about the Indochina War. He sounded grim about the results of the Allied drive into Cambodia, although a State Department spokesman says that nothing he said conflicts with administration statements about the success of the invasion as an aid to Vietnamization of the war. Rogers said the Cambodian operations have helped increase Communist China's influence in North Vietnam at the expense of the Soviet Union. Rogers, interviewed by Westinghouse Broadcasting Company, said it serves China's purpose to have the war continue, in effect using Hanoi as its instrument for making trouble. Rogers said the fighting in Indochina might well decline to a level of guerrilla warfare, but he was quoted as saying, "In terms of a conventional end of the war, I don't think we are any closer." A special congressional investigating committee was set up last year to look into the story of the 1968 My Lai massacre in South Vietnam. It took testimony from 152 witnesses and made an on-the-scene investigation. Today it released its findings. We have the details from Bob Schieffer in Washington.
This is the report on My Lai that the Army tried to block, and as the first copies came off the government presses today, the reasons why became obvious. The report is a scathing indictment of the way the Army handled the original investigation of the incidents at My Lai, and it charges the Army tried to hamper a congressional investigation of those same incidents. The charges do not come from doves. They come from a subcommittee headed by Louisiana Congressman F. Edward Hebert. Except for Armed Services Committee Chairman Mendel Rivers, who ordered the probe, the military has no better friend on Capitol Hill than Congressman Hebert. Here is what the report says. There was a tragedy of major proportion at My Lai. Some civilians died because of artillery and fire from helicopter gunships. Others were killed deliberately by ground troops. The report says that those deaths were the work of only a few soldiers. It concludes the actions were so wrong, they raise a question of the soldiers' legal sanity. The report charges that officers of the Americal Division made a calculated, concerted effort to cover up the incidents. It says that American intelligence personnel heard of the incidents, but brushed them off as...
You know, you started to tell me something on long distance, the other afternoon, and I said, save it, because I thought you might be hurried. And it's something that happened to you.
Oh, I think it was just that encounter with that young man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was just sort of strange. You know, these things happen to me off and on all the time. And, I don't invite them. They just start telling me these long experiences of theirs. And this boy really had a past. I probably will never run into anyone with his experiences before. I can't say that his have been good, but I think he's quite confused in lots of ways. But he is a very hard dope addict. In fact, he even told me he had been on about 300 LSD trips. And he started telling me what the Christians had done to him.
Yeah.
Like he'd been thrown to the lions, that when his hair grew long, they assumed that he was all wrong and all bad, and they would snub their noses at him. And,
Now that's somebody you hadn't seen before.
Never seen him in my life.
And he came up to you?
Yes. And just started talking to me. I had stopped to get gas. He was working at the filling station.
Uh-huh.
He evidently is on probation. He's only about 23 years old. I'd never seen him before. He told me all this, and he is due to serve probably about 30 years. And he has gone the whole route. He even told me of his experience sometime long ago when he drank too much, and realized one night he didn't know where he was, and so he dropped it and went to one and an, or another, you know, of the drugs. He's even been on heroin, all of them. He was in jail, and a cellmate of the one that was murdered. Only he wasn't in the cell, one of the ones that, you know, experienced it, but he had been in the cell with this boy before, the one murdered recently. And he said that the boy was a gentle soul and somewhat withdrawn and a weak person in a way, in that he wasn't belligerent, and that he would, and that the jailers would have known that he would have been tormented. This bothered him, and he didn't speak with bitterness, but he spoke of his experience with drugs and how he had come to some religious experience with them.
Yeah.
And he didn't feel that they should be in the hands of everybody, but in the hands of physicians to help other people. Now he's telling me all this was the future in jail, and he didn't look, he didn't say that he felt that he should be reprieved.
Yeah.
Exactly, but he did say that he you know, wondered about the justice of things. He said he thought that all these people that were on drugs or alcohol should be put in hospitals to be helped and not enforced by law to serve in penal institutions that only bred more violence. And he went on at some length with me. And I could, I had two children in the car with me. Three, really, two boys that were listening to all of this. Yes, sir, with open ears. And so I was sort of put on the spot. If I hadn't have had them in the car, I would have just listened and wouldn't have said anything much. But I couldn't agree, disagree with him, and I could not sit there and not take a stand. A personal stand. And so I did. But not in a, not that I will attack you sort of way. It's just that, well, you may feel that way, but I feel this way. And would kind of make, continually make a, try to make a positive stand so that my children would identify with me, hopefully, and not with the drug addict. It was a pretty touchy conversation, this fencing type conversation, only the boy ended up not feeling the least bit belligerent to me. And when he got through, I said, my baby's getting sleepy. She was about to crawl all over me by that time, Jancy was.
Yeah.
And this conversation had gone on an hour or so.
At the service station?
At the service station. Hour, a good hour or more, more than that. And I, when he seemed, he picked up the clue right away, and he said, you know, and he said, well, I'm, I guess she is. And he said, I just want to thank you for listening to me. He said, I just thought you'd be one that would understand.
Yeah.
And he seemed to go away very cheerfully. And oddly enough, when I stopped there, he gave me better service than I've hardly gotten at a, that I have gotten at a service station in years. He washed my back window. He washed my front window. He checked my battery. He put checked my steering fluid, which turned out to be low.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yes, he practically serviced your car.
Practically serviced my car. And this was at night. About the night or so before Christmas. Two nights before Christmas.
Yeah.
Friday night. And, it was just sort of strange to have someone come up and just tell you all of the things. He didn't speak of them as being bad that had happened to him. It was just like he was looking at it as, this is what's happened to me. And that's it. But he just wouldn't talk about it, I guess.
And those trips that he took, did he take you on those?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Just at the service station. Never been there before.
No. No. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I never will, I think, run into, unless I worked with them, someone who had been the root of alcohol, heroin, that many LSD trips, everything, all hard drugs. And B, looking at 30 years of prison ahead of him at 23, he couldn't have been more than 23. And you know, he was a nice man. With everything. But on some of the drugs, he had such wonderful experiences and illuminations, and he said insights into some religious life for him, which he didn't get in church, that it would be bad for a child Brent's age, for instance, to hear.
Oh.
A testimony. See, it's like a personal testimony. Dale could see through it.
Yeah.
Dale could see through it, but Brent couldn't. And you know, as he said about the Christians, and I said, well, I hope to consider that I am one. And at least I'm trying all the time. And so I, you know, I would take a stand there. I had to, you know, I have not had to do that before.
Uh-huh.
You know, to be really put on the spot,
uh-huh.
as you might say, personal witness.
Yeah.
But I felt with my children there, I must do it.
Yeah.
Only in just in a quiet way. But it didn't seem to faze him. And he just seemed to think that I wasn't the same type Christian. He must have been meeting somewhere else that had done him in. Not that all of them had. He said it was just that they didn't seem to look at beneath the hair. They just judge you by. They just to buy your appearance.
Uh-huh. Franz, I'm going to tell you, I'm just afraid you, somebody, the milkman will come, you'll have to go, and you've got to take care of his family.
We had a big day yesterday. Had a friend come down from Jacksonville and run a rototiller around the yard, trying to get some grass out there.
Yeah.
He's a good old country fella, and the triad of workers out here was a kind of a sight to behold. One of them is Carl, of course, and the other fellow was a horticulturist who smokes his pipe, and his name is Bill Payne, and Jancy calls him Jim Blaine. He's a real character. He's a character, just a character. There's just no getting around. He's complex. He's so complex. He's told me a little about himself now, at long last. I was wondering what made him like he is. Very authoritarian. And I noticed that he can really boss things and be an authority, but when it comes down to working, he most of the time was standing. And it was this old country fella from up there that was doing the, with emphysema, that was doing the work.
Oh.
Yeah. And the fellow with the emphysema would come and talk to me, and I was just watching it all. Because he was going to do it in a simple manner of just rototilling the soil and picking out the sticks. And Carl has these grandiose, megalomaniac ideas of his to go get tremendous tractors, forks, and all in this small front yard to do this job, the different approach. one would take hours of organization and work to do 10 minutes of work, and this fellow just says, go on out and just start working.
Yeah.
Which is what he did.
Yeah.
And he proved very quickly to him that he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So this went on yesterday morning from 8 o'clock till about 5 or 6.
You mean all day long?
Yes. And they all ate lunch here. So we had about, how many, 10? 9, 10 for lunch, somewhere along there.
Yeah. That's day of Sunday.
That's right. And Miss Pierce came. It's her nephew. The practical one is her nephew, one who works so hard. He's the sweetest fella. And Miss Pierce was here. She's crocheting, and they brought their little nephew with them, Kenny. And he and Chancey just had a ball and didn't bother anybody. They just played. So outside. They were very well occupied. And all this other was going on in the front yard. And every time I'd look out there, old Claude would be working, and Bill Payne would be standing out there chomping his cigar with his legs spraddled, hands on his hip, those tight breeches of his. And Carl would be out there with his red wool cap on. They'd just be planning something. And by the time they got through planning things, Claude had it done.
Now, where did Bill Payne get this big manner of his?
Well, you know, he didn't say too much, but yesterday he told me quite a bit about himself. He'd been in the military school since he was in the fourth grade.
Good Lord.
That's where he was raised. And he hated his father. He couldn't stand him. He couldn't stay in the same room with him. And,
You mean that's that much?
And he, guess what he told me. He couldn't stand to be in the same room with him. And he started out by saying he didn't know him very well. But he later gave more of a story and more of a truth, I guess. And his father evidently died at 41 years of age, which is mighty young. His remark there was he brought it on himself. So, I think it must have a lot to do with being put away. And can you imagine a child younger than Brent being in a military school his entire years in school? That regimentation? It would regiment the spirit as well as anything. Or worse. And then he went on into, he was a city boy in Asheville, North Carolina boy, but he went into horticulture because he liked botany.
Oh.
But he looks at nature only as specimens.
He doesn't care for them.
I don't know. To me, he looks at them as specimens. That's it. To be not Darwin's attitude. His was different. But he just looks at it as a name, brand, almost anything. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he has trouble accepting hospitality. He has trouble accepting kindness.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like he's, likes coffee. I take him a cup of coffee, and he has trouble being gracious about it even. It's almost like I was going to throw it at him.
Oh, really?
Yes, and to encourage him in food, I'm only being, won't you have this or that, being polite, because these are the things we have in the house to offer. We have so many goodies. And he'd say, and his, you know, his remarks would be like, well, am I not eating enough, or maybe I must I, or are you trying to ruin my waistline, or something like that, rather than, well, thank you, but I'm full, and I just don't think I want any more. It has a different twist to it. Defensive twist.
Defensive.
Defensive twist, yeah, to everything. It doesn't bother me. I'll just go right ahead. And pretty now he's about adjusted to me. Because I just tell him, if you don't want it, you just say so.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I told him. So now he's gotten where he kind of takes it pretty good.
Well, now, how did he get in on it?
Well, he just went by, that's a strange thing, too. He just went, he has a master's in horticulture, and yet he is not, he says he's going to build up his business. But he went by the office and looked at the, went in and approached Carl and said, your yard needs care.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes out and mows it and edges it and does things like that. And he lives over on the lake in Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something?
That's something.
And
how did he get over there Sunday?
Huh? How did he get over here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he volunteered to come out here to help plan the yard and tell us what to do.
Oh, he just came when he could catch you?
No, he made an arrangement to come.
Yeah.
Hmm? He made an arrangement to come.
Well, huh?
And came on out. I think he's lonely.
So you had a big day?
Yeah.
All day?
All day.
From 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm. Or 6 or somewhere along there.
That's nice. And tell you, Con, tell me about your visit with Mabel now. I just got,
had one with Mabel and Corey, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me Mabel.
I think you thought I was going to be isolated, but I could stay here in the house and go my normal run and see their things around.
Yes.
So, yeah, well, Mabel was in the kind of a dark room there when I went there, just quiet. And after we started talking, well, she perked up.
Yeah.
And got back on some of her old times with Belle.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to bother her too much.
Uh-huh.
And just had a nice chat, generally.
And that was bedtime.
And that was about 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
We should have been home.
Yeah.
Juanita took Jancy in the next room and played with her.
Yeah.
And Mabel and Mabel kept right on. I thought sure she's going to be getting tired.
She's the one that kept on.
Yes, sir. I wasn't saying much at all. I was just listening to her. And she kept it up till about 10:30. And I said, well, you know, I've got to get home. And I think if I'd have stayed there till midnight, she'd have kept on.
How about that?
She's just chatting away. She just came to life. So I say, I think she needs somebody to listen to her.
Yeah.
Hmm?
I don't think there's anybody in the family that that she has an audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there is. It's all family talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not... of course, she and Fel talk.
Mm-hmm.
And now she may talk with members of the family, but... I don't know. Maybe I'm just all wrong about that. Her sister came down the other day and stayed all day, and a couple of days, and I guess they talk solid.
Uh-huh.
But I have no idea what sort of talk it is, you know, that they talk.
She's a good storyteller herself.
Her sister?
No, Mabel is.
Oh, yes.
She was real good, just telling those things just like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really, had her old light back.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling them, laughing. It was real good to see.
You know, people like that, I found come to this, you know, the spoken word brings them to life.
It did with her, you're right. You're very right. It really did with her.
And their faculties work when they are half dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they are in pain and misery, and they work.
Mm-hmm. Unless that was the case with her, for sure. It was amazing because she was just so down when I went in. And within an hour, she was talking very excitedly and carrying on like old times. Real pleased.
Yeah, now you see, that's what's lost. I think so much about that. You see, the young people can't talk, they can't listen, and they don't learn. Actually, they think mostly about themselves. And if they were exposed to people like that, like the old days, no telling what would happen.
Dow and Beatty went up to see Tuck Christmas Day.
Is he still in the hospital?
Yes, but they've taken his tracheotomy tube out now.
Yeah.
And since they put, you know, they did a gastrostomy and feed him through his stomach, hole in his stomach.
Yeah.
But he seems to have gotten his strength back with that, and he's got his old spunk back, a guy.
What?
Can you imagine going through all he's gone through and still having his sense of humor?
Yeah.
But he does.
Yeah.
I got tickled at Margie, his daughter. I've been up there several times. You know, even when I couldn't go in, I went up and talked to Miss Mack and Margie's daughter, and they said, you know, Daddy never cusses unless things are pretty bad.
Yeah.
He was really cussing this morning.
Yeah.
That's when he was real sick. But his sense of humor is back. Even with all that adversity, enough to get anybody down.
What did he have done?
Well, you know, he had a stroke.
Yeah.
And it paralyzed what they call the 10th nerve, which affects the swallowing reflex.
Yeah.
And he also had hiccups that irritated the phrenic nerve.
Yeah.
And he had hiccups about 4 days, which were about to wear him out. And then he really was sort of strangling to death because he couldn't swallow and control the mucus in his throat. And so they did a tracheotomy, and likewise he couldn't breathe. And so they did a tracheotomy, which is put a little hole right up in the windpipe, and they have a metal tube that goes in there, and this permits air to come from the outside rather than having to go through the epiglottis and the things at the top.
Ooh.
It's right where where your neck indents there.
Yeah.
And that was to allow him to breathe, and he began to rest much better after that. The day I was in there, I was most disturbed because I could tell he was just strangling to death.
Uh-huh.
He really was. It was just. It's very unnerving to me, mostly because I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And so after they did that, he did begin to rest better, but then he had a pneumonia that wasn't responding too well. Sure, it was some aspiration of something he had taken. And that now seems to have been pretty well under control. His heart, which wasn't good, has stood all this, which amazes me. And then this swallow reflex still wasn't good order, so they put a hole in his stomach and make a hole from the outside into the stomach, and they put you feed them through that. They don't swallow. They use a tube.
Yeah.
And you just pour it in.
Well, what do you know?
And that's the way he's been getting his nourishment, and that seemed to have given him strength.
Yeah.
And so yesterday they took his tracheotomy out, the tube in his throat.
Uh-huh.
And now he's ready to go home, he said.
What about that?
Yeah, what about that?
And he talked to you?
Yeah.
What'd y'all talk about?
Well, he was wanting somebody to get Dow out there hunting. He's worried about all the ducks out there on the pond.
Yeah.
He's a hunter, you know.
Oh, yes. He's a sportsman.
And I think Beatty felt better after going up to see him. He'd been dreading it. He really couldn't face it for a long time.
Yeah.
Mom and I kind of made him go. And I fixed up a big bunch of holly for him. I figured that would be appropriate for a sportsman.
Uh-huh.
Wild holly?
Yeah.
And gave it to Dow and told Dow to go. Dow was like Beatty. He was running the other way.
Yeah.
So we sent the two boys up there Christmas Day.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know when he's going to come home. I need to go up there today or tomorrow and see him.
You don't know when he'll come home?
Mm-mm. My aunt and uncle are coming today sometime from Orlando. Marguerite and Sam.
Mm-hmm.
My Tennesseeman.
Yeah.
You've never met him, have you?
I guess not.
You want to meet a real Tennessee hillbilly, only cultivated hillbilly. He's one.
Uh-huh.
He's about 6'4". And he was raised up there at Dandridge, Tennessee, up in the mountains.
Uh-huh.
On, like, Morgan Road on Noonan Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. They took Dow up there this year. He went up to fight the highways taking the creek. You know, they had a creek out there, a natural spring.
Yeah.
That all the people used belonged to them.
Yeah.
All the people in the neighborhood got their water there. They still haul their water.
Uh-huh.
And he went up to see if he could keep that from being taken over. He and his brother.
Uh-huh.
The old house is still there. Been there 100 years, I guess.
Think
of that. He's, one of these good old souls. He was offered different jobs to, work in an office for his uncle, Langston Construction Company down in Orlando. He gave it up, and he likes out of doors, and he stuck with it all these years.
Uh-huh.
Let the money go.
Was it?
To be work, he works the heavy equipment.
Uh-huh.
Drag lines, big cats, and
yeah.
Stuff of that sort.
And he's still a hillbilly.
Yep. He knows he would not have survived inside, so... He turned down the advancements for something he loved.
Yeah.
Not too many will do that.
It's hard to do. The family's sort of sometimes scotch it.
His family, Marguerite wouldn't, his mother's sister. She would never. She'd go right along with him.
Yeah.
And he's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Great sense of humor.
You wouldn't go along. You wouldn't go along with him.
I wouldn't. Why not?
You'd have him ambitious.
No. You don't know me too well.
Well, that's the way you work.
The way I work?
Yeah.
Well, Marguerite's very ambitious herself as far as working. She's a most industrious person.
Yeah.
I consider myself somewhat industrious. At times. But not so ambitious.
I'm just prodding you. How is the...
Marguerite's one of these people that is extremely talented with a needle.
Oh, really?
Yes. She's a remarkable person. She's Dow's godmother. And she can cook anything. She's an expert cook.
Mm-hmm.
And she can make anything. Just make anything. And she's very quiet. You'll never hear a harsh word out of her. She's one of these gentle souls. And she's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty woman.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I remember her.
Hmm?
I remember my. I've seen her.
Yeah, she's very pretty. And just always gentle. You never see her any other way. So I've always had more burr in my saddle than she ever had. So, you know, the more stirring things up around a little bit more than she ever did. She was always very quiet. You know, it's real funny. I remember when she was about 15 years old, or she couldn't have been any older than that, I accidentally burned her with some hot stuff, hot fluid. I can't remember where it was, coffee or what, but I knew it was at the restaurant. And I think it was hot coffee I was getting for someone, or hot water I was putting into that urn. It was at my grandmother's old restaurant. And it burned her badly. And you know, she didn't say a word to me, unkind, and I just cried and cried and cried because I wanted her to at least fuss at me. Isn't that funny how you remember things like that?
Yeah.
But I felt so terrible, you know, because she wouldn't say anything. If she'd hit me in the head, I'd have felt better. But I couldn't have been more than about 7 or 8 years old. Or, you know, about that. She's just 6 and a half years older than I am. So, about 6 or 7, I guess, somewhere along there. So, they're just going to come by and spend the night tonight and go tomorrow to see Madalou, her sister, mother's other sister. They're kind of like my, she's kind of like my sister.
Yeah.
You know, all of them are, really. because I'm kind of raised with them. They have one boy that's adopted that's a little bit younger than Dow. About 2 years younger than Dow. So we'll still have a good bit tonight, I guess, won't we?
Well, that's nice.
Company.
Huh? That's something to look forward to. Now, what did you find? Don't try to tell me everything, but kind of how was Miss Corey?
Well, when we walked in, there was a gentleman sitting at the table who didn't say anything. And I said, hello. And he says, hello. And resumed his reading. She came out to the door to greet us, though, with this look of, who's after me? And this man was a Teamster from the Teamsters Union. And she didn't tell me the trouble that was on, but evidently there was something brewing. She evidently has a truck on the road. And she did tell me a little of the trouble she still has with her sister. And I don't understand it, Maggie, you know, why a woman would take her time to pursue her like she does and try to get her committed practically to McClenny or do anything she can to her. She has done this before. She even had her Social Security or something cut off where Corey had to go approve that she was sane.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Corey, why would anyone dog you? The woman's been in her mailboxes. She told me all this, you know, and the neighbors got upset because she was plundering through their mail. She was after Corey's mail.
Well, I never heard anything like that.
Well, this story's been going on a long time, and I thought maybe the woman would have left her alone, but she continues to plague her. And I said, Corey, why in the world would anybody take it upon themselves to antagonize another or at least try to do somebody in all their life? I just can't imagine it. And she said, well, you wouldn't understand. It's been going on since we were little children. Can you imagine anybody with that much of a devil in them? And, you know, at times it sounds like a tale. Now, I've heard this for 10 years. But it's yet it must not be a tale, because occasionally things come out that she's right. But you know, sometimes you'd almost think that someone was paranoid and thinks that someone was in pursuit of them.
Yeah.
But yet she doesn't have that outlook on life.
Nowhere else.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
But she told me the whole story of Maggie's recent pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
And then her son, I think it's been some sadness there, Lionel, family has split up.
Uh-oh.
And his wife is really taking him for a ride, trying to get everything he's got. And for no good reason except that she was tired of staying home. She had been working on a piece that morning.
Hmm.
Out in the back, stripped it, was working on that. And she still got a couple of boarders that eat there.
Hmm.
And she's running that trailer park.
Now, where is that?
It's on the other side of Silver Springs, called Linwood. You go past Silver Springs and past that, you know where the water is there, where Silver Run is? And past that, about 3 miles.
Yeah.
It's on the right, and it says Linwood.
Yeah.
And you turn right on a dirt road, and it circles way on up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in a cabin, because she evidently manages this area. And there's some cabins and some trailers out there.
You mean, what sort of area is it?
Very undeveloped.
Yeah.
Campgrounds.
Yes.
sister?
It doesn't belong to her. She manages it.
She manages it.
Now, let me see. What was the Teamster doing?
Well, the only thing I could take from the conversation that was going on was that she has a truck on the road, and most all those things are unionized. And just listening, her truck runs for Overland, must be for a company, travels for a company. And there was a picket going on and somewhere, and she was worried about the danger to her driver and so forth. And whether he should break the picket line,
uh-huh,
or observe it or what. And so this was a shooter, sharpshooter for the Teamsters Union,
uh-huh,
that was there to advise her.
Uh-huh.
Is that strange?
Yeah.
And he called Orlando while I was sitting there. She carried on her business for a little while, then talked to me. That something?
That's something. If you lived with her, you'd really get into things again, wouldn't you?
I sure would.
I have this little copy of Flannery O'Connor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those stories is worth going into. And I thought I'd bring it by the house, bring it by your house, and you could look at it. It's not long, just 100 pages. And we go from there. It has a new category. of inquiry in it that I never thought about, but it might work. It may be too scholarly, I don't know. Now, all this week you won't be able to get off any like you did before.
You know what I had thought of doing? I don't know where I can get by with it or not.
Uh-huh.
Was trying to find me 2 days and get Susan Ward to come up and keep Jancy. And I had even thought of, well, Carla, I told her about it, and so she thinks she should go with me just for self-protection. But go down to Sanibel Island just for a quiet day or so. You know, like old Ann Lindbergh said, you know, that gift to the sea?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've read it, that everybody needs to go away for a while now and then.
Yes.
And I used to do this every summer.
Yeah.
To think. And I haven't had a chance to think in years. Showing on me, I think.
Just a little disengage the gear.
Disengagement, yes. You know, I've had a steady diet for... It's been 4 years since I've had a day off, like a whole day and night to be away,
mm-hmm,
away from the family. You know, I have days when I go uptown shopping or a day when I go to the ranch, but that's not, you're not disengaged.
Mm-hmm.
You're just on a little trip. And so I was really thinking of doing that,
mm-hmm,
to see if Susan would stay with him and just take off. If I did, I could take the book with me.
Oh, yes, just sit down and look at the sand.
Right. Does that sound like a good idea?
Beautiful.
I like the beach. Sanibel has a lot of shells. And it's pretty vacant. I don't want to go in the summer because everybody else is there. I'd want to go in the winter. And it's vacant. I like to just walk.
You'd go any time you'd get off.
So... was thinking of doing that, and I might yet before school starts.
Uh-huh.
So I'll check with you. Had a book for you too ordered, but never got here.
Well, that's fine. I won't have to read it.
Yeah, you don't have most of it you have already read, but it's a different presentation of what you've read. One of your old friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That Sierra series. But they didn't have it. I've seen it before, and they didn't have it down there at Mike's. And I asked to order it a month ago. Called them, it's still not in.
Well, it takes a long time to get a book these days. Why, I don't know. It's not the Christmas rush either.
I don't know, because I started a long time before.
Yeah.
Just didn't get here.
Let me see. I don't have a chance to check in over there. If I had, you see, I could sort of find out your schedule from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that little session of the office the other day.
Oh, that was choice for me.
That was...
Anytime you want to do that again, I'll be right there.
Well, that's it. Yeah,
Well, it's easier if you just have some time and just give me a call.
All right.
And then I could just go.
All right. But now this week, you don't know whether you can disengage that long or not.
Well, it's according to whether I've got Gertrude or not.
Yeah.
I asked her to come today. Because I had beds to change with company coming too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this would be later in the week then.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to go to San Bell, that'd be nice too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check with you.
All right. Nice of you to call.
Righto.
Bye. Hello.
Good morning. This is Guy. How are you all?
Fine.
You have a trip to town?
Sir?
Did you spend all that money?
What money?
How's your mama?
She's fine. You want to talk to her?
Sure.
Here she is.
Oh.
Why, good morning.
How are you this morning? Freezing?
Well, let me tell you, I have been freezing.
Ooh, it's been cool.
And the weatherman missed it.
Pardon?
The weatherman missed it.
He sure did.
Yes, sir.
I think I can forecast the weather a lot better than he can.
He said there'd be, what did he say, 3 or 4 more days of this?
Oh, boy, I hope not. If he's wrong.
He's already been wrong. Yeah, he's
Mr.
already
Miles?
Wrong. Yes.
Bummer wants to talk to you a minute.
Yeah.
Here he is. Here.
So.
Hey.
How you doing?
Just coming. How are you?
About the same, I
guess. Get your feed?
Huh?
Get your feed?
No, that's what I was going to ask you about. Are you going to have any hay to sell?
Hay?
Yeah.
I don't know, Berman. What I wouldn't have enough over there to do you any good.
Well, I've got enough here about another week, and I won't have no more hay.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think my grass is going to be ready to turn anything over for at least a couple of weeks. I'm using about 8 bales a day, I guess.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'll look out there and see. I hadn't thought about it. Got so much. I don't have much. You know, I never make that much.
Well, I thought maybe you had a whole bunch out there where you sure to talk.
No. Well, it looks like a right smart, but it's not really. You say you put out 8 bales a day?
Yeah, I use about 8 bales a day, and I should be using more.
That adds up.
I know.
Yeah.
About 50 bales a week.
Yeah. I don't have enough over there. If you had it all, it wouldn't help you much. I don't say, because I just got a few cows, you know.
Surely you had a lot of rye planted. What made you just use rye?
Yeah.
I didn't know what she said.
Oh, that rye, yes, it has really come on. That rain, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to fertilize mine some more, please. And fertilize what he had on his bed plants. I don't think it's going to be enough.
Oh, you're going to give it some more fertilizer?
Well, see, I never did fertilize it, didn't I? What fertilizer had is what was in the ground from the eggplant.
Oh, I see.
And see, he fired that fertilizer for that long time ago.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to need to put me out about 2.5 tons of fertilizer out there.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't know whether you had any sure the way the sheriff told you you had a whole bunch out there. I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he was sure going to talk to you. I was taking Dad back over.
Let me tell you, you're all busy. I'm just checking in. I don't need to talk to Shirley or anybody. Huh?
Mr. Miles?
Yes.
Daddy fell this morning. He's hurting pretty bad. Berman's going to walk back over there.
Uh-huh.
He's getting ready to go out the door, and I didn't want him to fall down.
Uh-huh.
He thinks he's hurt his kidney,
uh-huh.
his left side. I don't know. And he cut his arm pretty bad.
Oh, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was.
There he goes.
Well,
honey, watch him.
He was doing so well.
Let Vernon go out first, Daddy. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. It's just a show going on here. I get carried away with Daddy. He fell again. I don't know what we're going to do with him. He can't walk 3 feet without falling.
That's not his day.
Well, it's been this way ever since Christmas dinner. Right after Christmas dinner, he took a hard fall and he fell 3 times going over to the cottage. Is he all right, Danny? Okay. And ever since then, he's taken about 3 or 4 falls a day. And this morning, he got up before Berman could get over there, and he fell and somehow cut his arm pretty bad. It's about a 5-inch gash there in his arm. And I've got that fixed up pretty good for him, but he's still going, you know, rocking back and forth on his feet. He
mm-hmm.
can't stay steady.
Mm-hmm.
And to make matters worse, he wears those big old rubber boots.
Christmas boots?
I've tried to get him to get out of those boots and get him back in his shoes, but he wants to wear them because they're warm on his feet.
Oh, yes.
And I can't blame him for that, but still, he doesn't have the hard sole there to help support him from rocking back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And those boots, if I could get a hold of them, I think I'd burn them. Because I think that's what's causing him to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Berman gave them to him for Christmas.
Yeah.
He's had them on ever since Christmas dinner time and Christmas morning. And ever since about dinner time Christmas, he's been falling. So I know it's the boots. At least I kind of think it is.
Well, Shirley, you know what? I have got so I wear those boots all the time,
uh-huh.
and they're too big and they won't stay on, and I fall down all the time.
Do you believe it's the boots?
I know it's the boots. You know, every time I trip on a little something, I can't raise my foot.
Uh-huh.
Them old boots is so big and so loose. And I'm going to break my neck.
Well, you're bad as he is.
I'm worse. Yes.
Oh, I tell you, I wish I could get a hold of those boots. They're a size 12. If he got them smaller, where they'd be tight on his feet, and the lace-up type, where wouldn't be so floppy on his legs,
yeah.
It might help. But
well, that's right. You see, mine is size 11, and I... They used to wear 9, 9½ shoe.
Oh, my heavens. They are quite large then.
And I buy my shoes at J.M. Fields, and, you know, I don't buy them for size. I just buy...
Yeah.
I haven't had a fit in years.
Uh-huh. Well, Byron gets all his boots from the Knapp's shoe salesman that comes by here. We order from him about every 3 years. Well, he doesn't get boots every 3 months, but he might get a pair of shoes in one time and a pair of boots or a pair of slippers or something each time he comes.
Now, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, he's very good. He they don't overcharge, and the boots are here or the shoes are here within a week after he orders.
Yeah.
So we've had very good luck. They measure your foot and everything, make sure you get the right size.
Yeah.
And this is a very good salesman. His name is Mr. Gillette, and he lives in Lakeland, I believe it is.
Oh.
And he travels up here every so often, about every 3 months.
Wow.
So we've had very good luck with him. And Berman's so satisfied with his boots and shoes and everything, he won't buy them anywhere else. And I just recently started ordering from him. I have... arthritis in my feet, and they're a little bit out of shape, so I have a time trying to find a comfortable shoe to fit my foot.
Yes.
So I finally found some that he had. It had a built-in arch support.
Uh-huh.
It's a nurse's shoe, but I got it in a black color, and it's just like wearing a glove on your hand.
Yes.
They fit so light. They're so light and so soft and comfortable.
Faye has an awful time finding shoes to fit. She wears such a narrow shoe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
well,
she could.
She could sure. I'll have him drop by if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love to see what he has.
Pardon?
I'd love to see what he has.
All right. I'll have him drop by the next time he comes out. I think they're very reasonable.
Yeah. Shirley, you got something to do there with your family. Let me tell you. I enjoyed that trip out there the last time. That was delightful. You know, I didn't notice the little girls until Bonnie came in and asked her daddy for some money. And she had on that new jacket. That's the right cute little cut of it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other two came in, and I got a first really good look at them.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Bodenite's daughter.
Uh-huh.
And she is tall and handsome and charming. And
yeah.
Then that little redheaded girl, I reached over. She's so nice. I reached over to pat her on the head, and I couldn't quite reach her, so she pushed her head over there where I could pat it. And I just saw they just such charming, such charming children.
They're three nice girls. I must admit they are very, very nice company. You know,
yeah.
For Bonnie.
Yeah.
And I enjoy having them here. They spent most of Christmas right here.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And Mrs. Boatnight, she was taking them to town the morning you dropped by.
Yeah.
She goes to town every Saturday. Now, this is something I don't get to do with Bonnie. I should, but I don't get to town once every 6 months.
Yeah.
And she loves to go shopping.
Uh-huh.
If it's not, she doesn't buy anything. She just likes to go to town.
Yeah.
But I don't like to go to town that often. If I go in, it's got to be for something very important.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Boatnight usually stops by each time they go into town, and the three girls go in together and shop around while she's getting her groceries.
Uh-huh.
So that gives them a little outing.
Yeah. Where does she buy her groceries?
Where does Miss Boatnight buy her groceries, Bonnie? Pantry Pride, she said.
Yes, I thought about that. That's a nice place.
It is. Well, they do quite well in town. They like to go around shopping and buy lots of meals while they're in there.
And then they come home and they enjoy being home.
That's right. She never spends over a dollar, and she always gets a dinner while she's in there, so you see how much they spend.
Yeah.
But it satisfies them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, they're just charming. And that's, I'll tell you, to have a little neighborhood like that, that's just choice.
Oh, yes. Yes, the kids are very well satisfied.
Uh-huh.
See, everything here is very enjoyable and very nice, except the schools.
Yeah. Now, Ms. Boatnight, she seems to be right nice herself.
She's what?
She seems to be right nice lady herself.
She is. She's very nice.
Uh-huh.
She's real nice.
Well, now, does she work with the rest of them on the fishing?
Oh, yeah. She racks lines every day.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then she fixes dinner for Mr. Boatnight and, John Henry and Virgil and Don Boatnight, her other son, and his wife and their family.
Uh-huh.
So she's got her hands full, and this goes on every day. I told her I'd get tired of all that cooking, I think.
Well, I should say so. That's some cooking, isn't it?
And on the side, then she racks the lines.
Oh, when she's not doing anything, she racks the lines.
Uh-huh.
Shirley, you're busy. I just meant to check in with you.
Berman's wanting to go down to the field and mow something or another. I don't know what it is he's up to, but he wants to get off to work, so I've got to see him to the door here for a minute.
Righto. See you.
And we'll check in with you.
Righto.
Bye-bye.